Good morning. It's good to be here today, and I hope that we can hear something of the Word of God today as we seek to look into some of His promises and some of the things that He has impressed upon my heart as of late. A couple of weeks ago, I woke up one morning, and I don't know if you've ever had this experience before, but I woke up almost talking to myself or talking in my sleep, one or the other. I probably do it more often than I know. You ask my wife, she'll tell you. But I woke up with the word, with a hymn on my lips, and I was repeating the words, "He leadeth me." And it's really been on my mind for quite some time, at least these 3 weeks anyway. And I've been trying to think about and meditate upon this thought of the leading of the Lord. And just this past week, even in the past couple of days, the Lord has revealed some things from His Word that have been extremely moving to me. Moving so much so that just even being up here right now, I'm having a very difficult time with. I always have trouble talking about the things of God. I get very excited. I lose my voice. I start yelling and shouting and but praise be to the honor and glory of the Lord, because it's His Word. And so I would apologize if I say something that's offensive. But today, if we are offended by the Word of God, may we go out of these doors praying, repenting, looking to the Lord for what He would have for us. I don't know how many folks in the assembly here, the tapes, CDs, things get circulated. And we've been thinking about and praying about of recent in the prayer meeting, the thought and idea of revival, and this idea of revival and how it can happen, and what is it that drives revival. That is not the topic of discussion today, but there is an excitement in the air. When we open up the Word of God, we should be moved, we should be excited, we should be inspired to go out and to do. And the thing that I want to talk today about is leading, the leading of God. Are we being led of God? Have we committed our lives to following God? I'd like to open up to Exodus 13:21. Exodus 13:21. And I have a very, I've been told not to apologize from the platform, and it's very hard for me not to, because a lot of my notes are very, very jumbled today. So if this seems like a disjointed message, I apologize, so I'll try to stay on track. Exodus 13:21. "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." And if you would, turn over to Psalm 119 and verse 105. Psalm 119 and verse 105. The writer here pens the words, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And we'll pause there and look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we beseech Thee, Father, by Thy mercies, that Thou would speak to us today, that Thou would speak to our hearts, help us to understand Thy Word, and help us to follow Thee. Lord, we thank Thee now and pray that Thou would bless Thy Word, and that we would hear Thy voice. In Thy Son's name we pray, amen. When I was young, I've often mentioned to you the great joy and satisfaction I find in hunting. And I've tried to explain that it isn't so much the act or the doing of the hunting, so much as it is being alone. Being in the woods, being in a place of solitude, sobriety, a place of calm. A place where I often find myself meditating, thinking upon the things of God, because really, in essence, you're surrounded by Him. There's nothing per se of man. We look around in those climates and we see all the handiwork of God. Reminded of the verses in the Psalms of how the heavens declare His glory. I can't help but look around and see the very handiwork of God. And oftentimes I've been by those quiet, peaceful, calm streams. And I can't help but think of David when he said that He leadeth me beside the still waters. And there is something so transient. There's something so, you can't help but fix your attention upon it. It's like when you've gathered to somebody's house, maybe you've been to some kind of Christmas or some kind of winter gathering event where they have a fire. And you know, people just get so transfixed upon that fire, they could just stay there for hours. And I've oftentimes found myself in my hunts in the woods, coming across the brook and the river as it runs. It's just this continual running. And the water is so clear and clean. You can see the very minuscule specks of sand in the bottom. There's this overwhelmingness that comes over you as you think of David as he was running for his life. He would find those places of calm. He would find those places of quiet meditation between him and his Maker. How often are we finding ourselves in those places in our lives? We say, I say it all the time, I'm so busy. We're so busy. We have so much to do. There's so much going on. We've made our lives busy with all of the inventions and contraptions of man. Oh, the automobile has done wonderful things. Takes us from point A to point B much faster than walking. But now we've just compounded the busyness of our lives. I wouldn't hesitate to say, though, that any of the saints of the Old Testament had any less of a busier day. David probably on his feet for miles and days with his company, trying to escape the clutches of Saul, but he would find those rivers, those streams, those quiet, meditative times when he could quiet his heart and his soul before a holy and a righteous God. How is it that we are to be led? I started to think upon this a few weeks ago, as I've mentioned, and you know, sometimes we just say it. You know, let the Lord lead you. Let the Lord guide you. You know, it's so sometimes very trite. Like, oh, it's just that easy. It's not that easy. And in fact, there are some things that I've gathered from the Scripture as I went through the Scriptures and looked for all of these times where the word lead was focused upon. And it's quite interesting because there are very definite and absolute parameters that surround what it means to be led. And that is what we're going to try to focus in and hone in on today, is what are some of those things, those components that enable us to actually be led. And I would argue today that as you would look through the Scriptures, and I challenge you to do it, if you are reading any portion of God's Word that has to do with leading, you're going to come across these other words. You're going to come across words like authority. You're going to come across words like rule. You will come across words like will. You will also find words like follow. Now, I'm sure that in your studies, you could probably find many more. But there are certainly of certain key components to what it means to actually be enabled to follow God and to be in the will of God and to be led of God. And all throughout the Old Testament, there are men and women who were followed and were led of God. No doubt, no question in my mind whatsoever. Because oftentimes, I question my own life, whether I'm actually being led of God. Because sometimes I think I'm gravely mistaken. Sometimes I have to sit down and get on my knees before God and say, Lord, am I really following you? Is it you that I am really yearning after, as the deer panteth after the water, so my soul panteth after. Am I really on that path? Now, this small description here that I have, it's kind of interesting. Sometimes as I'm preparing for a message, I try to draw a picture to help me think about the topic. And one of the things that I was thinking about as we walk along this narrow path, as we are going towards a mark, as it says in Philippians, I press on towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We have something to look forward to as we are following and being led of God. But we must take into account our will. We must. We must take into account the very authority of God Himself and who He is. His statutes, His righteousness, His law, His rule. And it was interesting, even as we were sitting breaking bread this morning, I'm looking at this table and the emblems upon this table, and there is authority in this room. The authority of God has rested upon this room, has rested upon this table, because He has ruled this. He has given this to us by divine command. It shakes the very core of our souls when we think how holy and righteous our God is. And there's a portion we're going to look at in Isaiah 40 that describes our great leader. That says, this is the great leader we have. This is the great one who led His people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt, in the wilderness, and into the promised land. He is our great leader. Why? Because His thoughts are so much higher and they're above your thoughts. Where were you? Kevin reminds me of Job as he would say, where were you when I formed this world? You have something to say? Does your will want to come even close to my will and challenge my authority? All too often we find ourselves challenging the authority of God, rather submitting to the authority of God. And when we find ourselves in submission to the authority of God, life gets a whole lot easier. And everything falls into place. And there were men and women in the Bible that understood the authority of God. And they understood the rule of God. And how that rule was administered. Because, you know, there's a process of administration. When I was younger, I had such a hard time with, I loved big words and I loved to say big words, but I had no idea what they meant. And that was one of them, administration. And as I was writing here this morning, I was thinking about God's rule. You know, we're so captivated. I've been overly caught up with the politics of this particular state at this particular time in our nation's history, and it's very interesting. And I was thinking about the rule, and I was thinking about some of the things that this country has been talking about doing, taking the very Ten Commandments out of the courtrooms. How dangerous that day will be when those are banned utterly out of the courthouses of this nation, because it is the very rule of God that formed the laws, the statutes, the ordinances. It has given us protection. If we take the rule of God out of this nation, for once we stood upon God, it cannot be of God, because it is no longer under His authority and rule. The story that I was impressed to share with you is a story I haven't thought about all too often, because it brings to mind some pain and agony of my childhood days, but it is a very personal story. And it is quite humorous, but it is very deep in meaning. And there were two people that were there, maybe three. There were three. It was my father and my brother and myself. And my dad had shot a deer, and we had the great privilege of going out to find this deer. And we ventured out into the night, and it was cold, and it was dark. And my father led us down into the woods, what seemed to me like 10 or 20 miles, probably only a mile at best. But I can remember going through the woods, not knowing where I was or where I was going. I was scared to the utter core of my soul because there was darkness all around. But it was my father that was leading the way. And I knew that he knew where he was. And I placed all my trust and hope in that. Because if I knew that I got too tired, and I did, and my feet so cold that I could barely move my toes, to this day I still have problems with my feet because of that. Thanks, Dad. But I knew if I couldn't make it, he would pick me up and carry me out of there. I knew he could do that because that was my father. That is the God that you and I serve today, because he will pick us up and carry us and bear us up just as he did with his people of old. He would take them and lead them out of bondage. He took them out of Egypt, and it was by his mighty right hand that he would part the very rivers, the very waters of the great Red Sea. And he would lead them upon dry ground. He would lead them in the wilderness. Oh, he was so good to them. He would provide food. He would provide water. And yet, time and time again, they would murmur and they would complain and they would get discouraged. It is no different today, believer. It is no different today. Our hearts are still just as wicked. They are still just as full of contempt for God as they were back then. We still murmur. We still complain. Believer, being led of God has nothing to do with an easy path. Christ himself said that. He said, if you are going to follow me, this is what your life is going to look like. It is going to be hard and brutal. You will suffer. If you love me, if you want to look anything like me, you will suffer. Oftentimes, we look at David's writings and we think of how wonderful those times of quiet peace and solace at that babbling brook, how wonderful they are. You've had those times, I'm sure, where you've just been lifted up. Your spirits have been brought up to a high place, a mountaintop, and you have sat there basking in the glory of God himself. If you've experienced those times, praise the Lord. However, that is not what it means to be led of God, because David in that same psalm said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." He is there. Through the valleys and on the mountaintops, there is no place on this world, in this universe, that you can escape God. He is everywhere. And for the believer, what an encouragement. You could be in a cell, in a prison. You could be tortured and afflicted. And the very doorstep of death at hand. And you can be praising your very God and Savior, because he is right there by your side. Do we know that? Do we claim that for our own? Do we lay hold upon that promise. Again, there are parameters to being led of God. For we must deal with the very things that the children of Israel dealt with. In Hebrews 8:9, the Lord, we read there by the writer that he says, I took them by the hand. Many of the times when we find that word leading, we find this almost gentle, yet powerful and strong, this overpowering sense of strength, and yet gentle. You know, I've often wondered why they weren't ever called the adults of Israel. You know, you're never reading about them being the adults of Israel. They were always called the children of Israel. Isn't that interesting? How God would refer to them as that. My children. I had to lead them by the hand. I had to take them in my hand and lead them along the way. That word lead means to guide by going before. It means to draw along, to guide by instruction or counsel, to have direction or control of. And our God is so gracious, so loving and kind and tender, compassionate towards us. But don't be fooled, brothers and sisters, for it is our wickedness, it is our sin, it is our will that so oftentimes gets in the way of that. As we travel through alongside of the children of Israel, if you were there for the murmurings and complainings, if you were there with Moses and Joshua, we've been reading in Numbers how they would go up onto the mountain and come down and find them in utter and total lawlessness, steeped in idolatry. Yet they had just seen God's hand part the waters. They had seen, they had eaten and tasted of the manna. They drank of the waters of Meribah. And yet, so quickly led astray. How is it that that can happen to the people of God? When we are able to see His hand perform the great miracles in our lives, and yet we can turn from Him so quickly and despise His authority. How is that? I've done it. I am ashamed that I have done it. If we are all honest with ourselves, we would all say the same. We have done it. We were there. We were just as idolatrous as the children of Israel were. We were just as wretched and cruel to the Lord Jesus as those Romans and Jews were. Just as wicked, each and every one of us. And as a believer, what does it mean then to follow? Follow means to go or come after, to seek, to overtake, to pursue, to move or act under leadership, control, and authority. It's interesting how often this word authority comes up, isn't it? The children of Israel would defy the authority of the living God time and time again. You can recall as well as I do all of those times when the children of Israel would defiantly disobey God. And how it hurt the very heart of Moses, and not just Moses, but God Himself. As the children of Israel were led into the promised land, we know that there was a generation that had to pass before they were able and allowed to enter in. And as they would enter in and possess their land, they would begin again to murmur. And it is interesting what the children of Israel wanted. God certainly saw this coming. He knew that there was nothing stopping this people, aside from a divine act which he could have done. But he allowed the people to exercise their will. And the will is a very important concept, or a very important idea when we talk about this topic of leading. Because that is what separates us oftentimes from following after God, being in the will of God. Because if our will has anything to say in the matter, we've already erred from the truth. You see, because even the Lord Jesus Christ himself, even the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Not my will, but thine be done," to God the Father. He would submit to the Father. There is something very important to be said about the submission of the will of man. Now, the children of Israel would rise up and say in 1 Samuel 8:19, "We will have a king." It's interesting, because God said, "I would that I would lead you." It wasn't God's plan for the people to have a king. If God could lead them out of bondage in Egypt, and if he could lead them all of those 40 years in the wilderness, and if he could lead them into the promised land that he had given them, how couldn't he continue to lead them? The problem was, is that they were distracted by what they saw around them. And this is where we oftentimes err, because we look around and we look at our neighbors and we see what they have. And then we think of what we want, or what we should have, or what we're entitled to. Hold on a second now. I'm important. I have rights. You know what that is? That's one of the deadliest sins that we could fall into. It is the pride of the flesh of man that would seek to rise up and say, "I am somebody, I'm something important." This is preached in our society. We see this all around us, I'm sure, every day. We want to empower each other, empower people. We want to make a name for ourselves. We want to have a good reputation. All of these things sound good. Again, when we look at the contrast to who the Lord Jesus Christ was on this earth, what did it say about his reputation? Did he make himself of a great reputation? He could have. It said he made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant. Not just any servant, but a bond servant, a servant that was given wholly to his master. We had a brother from New York preach a wonderful message about bond service. It's probably in the archives. His name was Richie Benitez. If you come across it, listen to it. It's wonderful. Our society tells us that you have rights, you're important. Those things that you want to do should be of utmost importance. If you spend your life chasing that idea, you will be lying on your deathbed regretting every day spent thinking about yourself. Because time and time again, there was a missionary, either next door to you or in some country, that gave all, that left nothing in their self, in their person, but gave it up wholly to God. Isn't that what God required? Isn't that what God asked for? Let's look back. All of that leading that God did in the Old Testament with His people. All of those sacrifices that had to deal with sin, with the transgressions of the people before God. How can we not wholly dedicate ourselves? There's so much. There's so much that we want, so much that we see, so much that we are distracted by, that it is very hard to be able to devote one's life towards the things of God in these last days. Isaiah, we can't look at all of these portions. We're out of time. There's much more here. But it is very interesting in respect to our society and what we learn. Because remember, in Matthew it said, broad is the way of destruction. There is a very broad road out there. We all have seen the pictures. We've all heard the verse before. Be aware, O Christian, of the devices of the devil. It would be of his utmost pleasure to see the authority of God torn down, not only in this country, but in this church, this building, and not just in this building, but in your home. That is what he would love to destroy. In Isaiah chapter 3, read it if you have the time, it talks about a day, a warning to Israel, when the mighty men, when the overseers, when those that are in a position of authority, when the prophets are all taken and placed aside. And it's very interesting because it goes on to say how the children are given place, and they are given the place of rule, and the women are given the place of rule. And believer, we don't need to dodge the issue of authority when it comes to the home. Because God has set forth in His Word the order not only of the church, His church, but the order of the home. And when the order of the home is out of order, it is total and utter chaos. I grew up when a simple symbol was a rage. In the mid-80s, the symbol anarchy was a very popular symbol. And I had probably drawn it many times thinking, this is cool. The very word itself is an abomination, because what it seeks to do is destroy the rule of God. And the rule of God is plain. Believer, it is simple. But it must take the submission of our will. Because men, if we are to have a rule in our home, we must be in submission to the holy God of Isaiah chapter 40. The God that meted out the waters of this planet in His hand. He framed the mountains. And who are you? We should be on our faces flat every morning, seeking His mercy upon us and upon the decisions we make in our home. Likewise, women, submit yourselves unto your husbands. But wait, no buts. Where is your will? Submit your will to the holy God. Children, be obedient. That is the one commandment in the New Testament of children. Be obedient. If a child cannot learn obedience in the home, a child will have a very difficult time being obedient to a holy and righteous God. There is much more that we cannot go on with at this time. I pray again that the Spirit of God would move us in His Word. These are not my words or any of our words. We claim them because they are His. Praise be to the honor and glory of God that He has imparted His Word to us. May we follow it with utter and total self-abandonment. for the rest of our lives, so that he may receive the honor and glory. Our Heavenly Father, we do ask and pray that thou would help us this day, that in some way we would be able to bring glory and honor to thee. We are wretched sinners, but oh, Father, by thy grace, we have been saved. We are so thankful today, Father, for the cross work of thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, help us to understand what it means to be led of thee, that we would follow thee, that we would submit our will to thee, and that we would understand, Father, thy great and total authority in this universe. We give thee thanks now. In the name of thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.